Chapter 20. Should be ruined also. Or if he should make articles for himself, it must be with 10 times the dishonor that he might have done before. Politicians say, 'tis never good for a prince to put himself into a case of desperation. This is drawing the sword and throwing away the scabbard. If a disaster should befall him, his retreat is impossible, and this must have been done only to secure the man with the lip from being cuffed or frighted into a separate peace.' The second reason people here give why the Salienarians are concerning themselves in this matter is drawn from trade. The continuing of Abronia in the hands of the Gallienarians will most certainly be the destruction of the Salienarian and Magenites trade, both to that kingdom and the whole seas on that side of the moon, as this article includes a fifth part of all the trade of the moon, and would in conjunction with the Gallienarians at last bring the mastership of the sea out of the hands of the other, so it would in effect be more detriment to those two nations than 10 kingdoms lost if they had them to part with. This the Salienarians foreseeing, and being extremely sensible of the entire ruin of their trade, have left no stone unturned to bring this piece of pageantry on the stage, by which they have hooked in the old Black Eagle, to plunge himself over head and ears in the quarrel, in such a manner, as he can never go back with any tolerable honor. He can never quit his son and the crown of Abronia, without the greatest reproach and disgrace of all the world in the moon. Now whether one, or both of these reasons, are true in this case, as most believe both of them to be true, the policy of my countrymen, the Salienarians, is visible indeed, but as for their honesty, it is past finding out. But it is objected here, this son of the lip has an undoubted right to the crown of Abronia. We do not fight now to set up an usurper, but to pull down an usurper, and it has been made plain by the manifesto that the giving a kingdom by will is no conveyance of right. The Prince of the Eagle has an undoubted right, and they fight to maintain it. If this be true, then we must ask these high and mighty gentlemen, how came they to recognize and acknowledge the present king on the throne? Why did they own an usurper, if he be such? Either one or other must be an act of cowardice and injustice, and all the politics of the moon cannot clear them of one of these two charges. Either they were cowardly knaves before, or else they must be cunning knaves now. If the young eagle has an undoubted title now, so he had before, and they knew it as well before as they do now, what can they say for themselves, why they should own a king who they knew had no title, or what can they say for going to pull down one that has a title? I must be allowed to distinguish between fighting with a nation and fighting with the king. For example, our quarrel with the Gallienarians is with the whole nation, as they are grown too strong for their neighbors. But our quarrel with Abronia is not with the nation, but with their king, and this quarrel seems to be unjust in this particular, at least in them who owned him to be king, for that put an end to the controversy. 'Tis true, the justice of public actions, either in princes or in states, is no such nice thing that anybody should be surprised to see the government forfeit their faith, and it seems the Salienarians are no more careful this way than their neighbors. But then those people should in a special manner forbear to reproach other nations and princes with the breaches which they themselves are subject to. As to the eagle, we have nothing to say to the honesty of his declaring his son king of Abronia, for as is hinted before, he never acknowledged the title of the usurper, but always declared and insisted on his own undoubted right, and that he would recover it if he could. Without doubt the eagle has a title by proximity of blood, founded on the renunciation of the king of Gallienaria formerly mentioned, and if the will of the late king be invalid, or he had no right to give the sovereignty of his kingdoms away, then the eagle is next heir. But as we quit his morals, and justify the honesty of his proceedings in the war against the present king of Abronia, so in this action of declaring his second son, We must begin to question his understanding, and saying a respect of decency, it looks as if his musical head was out of tune, to illustrate tell us. I crave leave to tell you a story out of your own country, which we have heard of hither. A French man, that could speak but broken English, was at the court of England, when on some occasion he happened to hear the title of the King of England read thus, Charles the II, King of England, Scotland, France, and Ireland. That is that you say? Says Monsieur, being a little affronted. The man reads it again, as before. Charles the II, King of England, Scotland, France, and Ireland. Charles the II, King of France. Ma foi, says the French man, you can no read. Charles the II, King of France, ha, ha, ha. Charles the II, King of France, when he can catch. Anyone may apply the story, whether it was a true one or no. All the lunar world looks on it, therefore, as a most ridiculous, senseless thing, to make a man a king of a country he has not one foot of land in, nor can have a foot there, but what he must fight for. As to the probability of gaining it, I have nothing to say to it, but if we may guess at his success there, by what has been done in other parts of the moon, we find he has fought three campaigns, to lose every foot he had got. It had been much more to the honor of the eagle's conduct, and of the young hero himself, first to all let him off back at his enemy in the field, and as soon as he had beaten him, the Ebronians would have acknowledged him fast enough, or his own victorious troops might have proclaimed him at the gate of their capital city, and if after all, the success of the war, had denied him the crown he had fought for, he had the honor, to have shown his bravery, and he had been where he was, a prince of the great lip. A son of the eagle, is a title much more honorable than a king without a crown, without subjects, without a kingdom, and another man upon his throne. But by this declaring him king, the old eagle has put him under a necessity of gaining the kingdom of Ebronia, which at best is a great hazard, or if he fails to be miserably despicable, and to bear all his life the constant chagrin of a great title and no possession. How ridiculous will this poor young gentleman look, if at last he should be forked, to come home again without his kingdom? What a king of clouts will he pass for, and what will his king-making old gentleman, his father say, when the young hero shall tell him, Your Majesty has made me mock king for all the world to laugh at. 'Twas certainly the weakest thing that could be, for the eagle thus, to make him a king of that, which, were the probability greater than it is, he may easily, without the help of a miracle, be disappointed of. 'Tis true, the Confederates talk big, and have lately had a great victory, and if talk will beat the King of Ebronia out of his kingdom, he is certainly undone, but we do not find the Gallienarians part with anything they can keep, nor that they quit anything without blows. It must cost a great deal of blood and treasure before this war can be ended. If absolute conquest on one side must be the matter, and if the design on Ebronia should miscarry, as one voyage thither has done already, where are we then? Let any man but look back, and consider what a sorry figure your Confederate fleet in your world had made, after their Andalusian expedition, if they had not more by fate than conduct, chopped upon a booty at Vigo as they came back. In the like condition, will this new king come back, if he should go for a kingdom, and should not catch, as the French man called it? 'Tis in the sense of the probability of this miscarriage, that most men wonder at these unaccountable measures, and think the eagle's counsels look a little wildish, as if some of his great men, were grown delirious and whimsical, that fancied crowns and kingdoms were to come and go, just as the great divan at their court should direct. This confusion of circumstances has occasioned a certain copy of verses, to appear about the moon, which in our characters may be read as follows. Wandalus adulus in naperic solum atardos, Strigunia crolius zeren hytale phylos, Pharnicos galver orptos anima ligons birch, Silona sipos gulliar opta tylos. which may be English it thus. Caesar, you trifle with the world in vain, think rather now of Germany than Spain. He's hardly fit to fill th eagle's throne, who gives new crowns, and can't protect his own. But after all, to come closer to the point, if I can now make it out that whatever it was before, this very practice of declaring a second son to be king of Abronia, has publicly owned the proceedings of the king of Gallienaria to be just, and the title of his grandson to be much better than the title of the now declared king. What shall we call it then? In order to this, 'tis first necessary to examine the title of the present king, and to enter into the history of his coming to the crown, in which I shall be very brief. The last king of Abronia dying without issue, and a former renunciation taking place, the succession devolves on the house of the Eagle as before, of whom the present Eagle is the eldest branch. But the late king of Abronia, to prevent the succession of the Eagle's line, makes a will, and supplies the proviso of renunciation by devising, giving, or bequeathing the crown to the grandson of his sister. The king of Gallienaria insists that this is a lawful title to the crown, and seizes it accordingly, inflating his grandson in the possession. The Eagle alleges the renunciation to confirm his title as heir, and as to the will of the late king, he says crowns cannot descend by gift, and though the late king had an undoubted right to enjoy it himself, he had none to give it away. To make the application of this history as short as may be, I demand then what right has the Eagle to give it to his second son? If crowns are not to descend by gift, he may have a right to enjoy it, but can have none to give it away. But if he has a right to give it away, so at the former king, and then the present king has a better title to it than the new one, because his gift was prior to this of the Eagle. I would be glad to see this answered. And if it can't, then I query whether the Eagle's senses ought not to be questioned for setting up a title very foundation for which he quarrels at him that is in possession, and so confirm the honesty of the possessor's title by his own practice. From the whole, I make no scruple to say that either the Eagle's second son has no title to the kingdom of Abronia, or else giving of crowns is a legal practice. And if crowns may descend by gift, then has the other king a better title than he, because it was given him first, and the Eagle has only given away what he had no right to, because 'twas given away before he had any title to it himself. Further, the posterity of the Eagle's eldest son are manifestly injured in this action, for kings can no more give away their crowns from their posterity than from themselves. If the right be in the Eagle, 'tis his, as he's the eldest male branch of the house of the Great Lip, not as he is Eagle, and from him the crown of Abronia by the same right of devolution descends to his posterity, and rests on the male line of every eldest branch. If so, no act of renunciation can alter this succession, for that is a gift, and the gift is exploded, or else the whole house of the Great Lip is excluded. So that let the argument be turned and twisted never so many ways, it all centers in this, that the present person can have no title to the crown of Abronia. If he has any title, 'tis from the gift of his father and elder brother. If the gift of a crown is no good title, then his title cannot be good. If the gift of a crown is a good title, then the crown was given away before, and so neither he nor his father has any title. Let him that can answer these paradoxes defend his title if he can. And what shall we now say to the war in Abronia? Only this, that they are going to fight for the crown of Abronia. And to take it away from one that has no right to it, to give it to one that has a less right than he, and 'tis to be feared that if heaven be righteous, 'twill succeed accordingly. The gentlemen of letters who have wrote of this in our lunar world, on the subject of the Gallienarian's title, have took a great deal of liberty in the Eagle's behalf, to banter and ridicule the Gallienarian sham of a title, as if it were a pretense too weak for any prince to make use of, who talk of kings giving their crowns by will. Kingdoms and governments, says a learned lunar author, are not things of such indifferent value to be given away, like a token left for a legacy. If any prince has ever given or transferred his government, it has been done by solemn act, and the people have been called to assent and confirm such concessions. Then the same author goes on to treat the king of Gallienaria with a great deal of severity, and exposes his politics, that he should think to put upon the moon with so empty, so weak, so ridiculous a pretense, as the will of a weak-headed prince, who neither had a right to give his crown, nor a brain to know what he was doing, and he laughs to think what the king of Gallienaria would have said to have such a dull trick as that put upon him in any such case. Now when we have been so witty upon this very article, of giving away the crown to the king of Gallienaria's grandson, as an incongruous and ridiculous thing, shall we come to make the same incongruity be the foundation of a war? With what justice can we make a war for a prince who has only a good title, by virtue of the self-same action which makes the grandson of his enemy have a bad title? I always thought we had a just ground to make war on Hebronia, as we were bound by former alliances to assist the eagle in the recovery of it in case of the death of the late king of that country. But now the eagle has refused the succession, and his eldest son has refused it. I would be glad to see it proved how the second son can have a title, and yet the other king have no title. What a strange sort of a thing is the crown of Hebronia, that two of the greatest princes of the lunar world should fight, not who shall have it, for neither of them will accept of it, but who shall have the power of giving it away. Here are four princes refuse it. The king of Gallienaria's sons had a title in right of their mother, and 'twas not the former renunciations that would have barred them, if this softer way had not been found out. For time was it has been pleaded on behalf of the eldest son of the Gallienarian king, that his mother could not give away his right before he was born. Then the eagle has a right, and under him his eldest son, and none of all these four will accept of the crown. I believe all the moon can't find four more that would refuse it. Now, though none of these think it worth accepting themselves, yet they fall out about the right of giving it away. The king of Gallienaria will not accept of it himself, but he gets a gift from the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.